Samuel L.
Hamburgers.
Is your website purdy?
The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Does it work right?
This is a tasty burger.
Can people find it?
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Say it!
Man, you been.
If you answered no, or kinda, to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast. Because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to the Mind Your Business podcast, our last one of 2015. Can you believe it? Where did the year go? Thank you for listening to us, however you listen to us, from our website, welcometomind.com, on iTunes and Stitcher, coming soon to Google Play. And thank you for following us on Pinterest and, of course, on Facebook. Keep sending your questions through our website and through Facebook. We'll be happy to answer them right here on the podcast. We love getting questions from you. And don't be shy. Don't be shy. There's no such thing as a stupid question. We'll answer them all. We're here to help educate you, help Schoolhouse Rock you with your website, your development, your design, your SEO, a whole shebang, your social media marketing, your pay-per-click. We try to cover all the bases here. Happy birthday, by the way, to our way cool announcer guy, Mr. David Atwood, who is a very happy 39 and holding today. Thank you for making us sound cool, Mr. Atwood. And also, a sad day in rock and roll a couple of days ago. I still can't believe it happened. It was announced that the man, the legend, Ian Fraser Kilmister, better known as Lemmy, founder and guiding force of Motorhead, he passed away. He just a couple days after his 70th birthday. He was Motorhead and he played rock and roll. One really would be hard pressed to name another artist more influential in modern rock music, and you'd be hard pressed to name anyone more sincerely quotable than Lemmy was. Probably my favorite quote from him is in an 80s documentary where he was asked if he had a problem or got mad about bands that tried to copy Motorhead. And his answer was, no, good luck to them. Maybe they'll do something we can copy later. I always loved that frankness and that attitude with him. His interviews, always worth, if it was on TV, radio, or whatever, always worth listening to. If it was in a magazine, newspaper, or whatever, it was always worth reading. There were always, always good quotes in those interviews. I remember buying my first Motorhead album in 1983 when the record store clerk said that the singer's voice had no redeeming musical value. That's how it started for me, because he said that and I said, now this I have to hear for myself. I bought it and I disagreed and I've been a fan ever since. R.I.P. Lemmy. And thank you to the Chad Rock for paying tribute to the man on this week's podcast image. Now, we're closing out the year the same way we did last year. We're going to do this every year, kind of looking into the proverbial crystal ball, looking at 2016 to see what it's going to look like in the world of online search. There's a lot of exciting stuff happening. And by the way, before I forget, we will have our social swami, Chris Bradley, on the podcast soon to talk about your social media in 2016, because there's exciting stuff going on there too. And he will tell you all about it soon here on the podcast. But this week, we're focusing on SEO and improving your ranking. We're going to look at the most important areas you should be paying special attention to in 2016. And I'm going to start with what is called dark traffic. Now, I'm assuming that you're using Google Analytics. If you're not, shame on you, because you should be. In Google Analytics, when you look at your numbers with regard to your sources of traffic, you find that vague category called direct none, direct slash none. They even put it in parentheses, so it looks even more irritating. We covered this earlier in the year in a podcast, so I'll be brief here. Direct none is the traffic that Google can't accurately trace the source of. They can't trace the source of it, plain and simple. That's why it's called dark traffic, because it's in the dark. It could be from clicking the link to your website in an email or a PDF. It could be clicking on a shortened, abbreviated link. It could be from accessing the site through social media apps, because those aren't real accurately trackable yet. I assure you that is going to be coming. That is going to be coming in the next year. Even accessing the site organically can show up as direct/none if there were issues with the searcher's browser. Now, it's believed that 50 to 60% of traffic under direct none is actually organic. There's a host of possibilities that Google, for whatever reason, has been unable to identify. So in the coming year, Google is really looking to make major strides in better identifying resources in this dark traffic, which will really be good for all of us in helping to get, in helping to better target our SEO and really better target our overall internet marketing efforts. Okay, now that first one is something really more something to be aware of and look for to happen in the coming months. It's not so much of an action item. It's something that will help you in taking action on other aspects of SEO, but that's more of something just to be looking for in the coming months. Now, this one is more of an action item for you. Rich answers. And if you're wondering what rich answers means, have you noticed that with some Google searches, and I think the statistic is showing now it's edging up to 30% of searches are showing this, you get a really nice box at the top of the search with an answer. It could be a definition or what have you. But it's an answer, usually with graphics. And it's a direct answer to your search query. If you're still not sure what I'm talking about, do a Google search for what is a bear. Just type that in to the Google search box. What is a bear? And you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, you're probably wondering where I'm going with this. Well, you know how we're always harping here on the podcast about the importance of providing good, original, helpful, informative content? Well, the number one reason for doing that is because it's the right thing to do. It's what we all should be doing to serve our website visitors. Now, second reason is that if you're doing that with POP, purity of purpose, you can benefit from this algorithmic evolution. You can actually appear as the answer in that box. That's the rich answer that we're talking about, a direct answer, but you have to earn it. And this is where it gets interesting, because if your website relies on public domain information like Wikipedia, guess what? Wikipedia will get the nod over you. In fact, when you start getting into this arena of rich answers, Wikipedia and dictionary.com, etc., those kinds of fully established trusted resources will probably get the nod over you anyway, in the most common terms, or in searches for the most common terms that have to do with your area of business. And that comes down to the fact that they are more established, trust is already firmly established, and they are a trusted data resource. What you want to do is you want to use your analytics and search console and look for your most common queries and answer those queries directly on pages or posts, but answer them directly, direct answers to those queries. Google loves direct answers as long as they're original. It is a challenge, but it's totally worthwhile, and it leads us to our next focus area for 2016, infographics. Google loves infographics, and let's face it, we all love infographics. You know, it's Lucky Charms. You got the cereal and you got the marshmallows right there. You got the whole shebang. Quick, useful information with pictures. What's not to like? Yes, a picture can be worth 1,000 words. And that's what makes infographics so special. Infographics can be used to explain complex or seemingly complex processes in a way that's more quickly understood and often paints a clearer picture because, well, it uses images to paint the picture. Think about definitions and processes in your business, the proverbial FAQs, and have someone help you determine which of those would make the most sense to turn into an infographic. By the way, if you're going to do this right, infographics aren't cheap. I'm just going to tell you now, they're not going to break the bank, but the quality that you want does cost a little more. So just be ready. It is an investment, but it's an investment that's well worth it. You're trying to build trust. You're trying to give people quick, reliable information that will make them want to keep referring to you. You're building your own credibility as a reference when you do this. Now, while we're on the topic of images here, let's not forget video. If you don't have a YouTube channel, get one. You can connect to it, you can connect it to your website and earn more trust with the search engines by doing that. If you use it properly, you've got to set up your channel and you have to deliver good, solid, honest content through your videos. And please keep these videos in short, sweet nuggets of information. You'll get more viewers. I mean, the truth of the matter is the threshold is about 3 minutes. Yes, some people make videos that are longer, but you get higher viewership. There we go. You get higher viewership if you have your videos in shorter form there. Attention spans just are not what they used to be. We want short, sweet nuggets of information. Now, the next area to be aware of, and this is an action area too, is user behavior. Granted, we can't control user behavior, but it's how you influence user behavior on your site, legitimately influence it. We've talked about this a lot throughout the year, how Google is factoring user behavior into the search algorithm. They want to know the truth about your actual engagement. They want to know that those 2,000 or 10,000 fans or 100,000 fans, followers or whatever, are legitimate and you didn't buy them. Google finds that out through incorporating user behavior into their algorithm. And we talked about this before, how if you've got 10,000 fans of your business on Facebook, but you're lucky to get one or two thumbs ups on anything that you post, it becomes evident to Facebook that you have the vast majority of your followers don't care. All this stuff is being incorporated into the Google search algorithm. Things like user engagement with your content, social activity on your social profiles connected to your website, relevance of your content, click-through rates. All of this is being factored in now, and it continues to evolve. Bottom line, deliver quality, original content that will engage your visitors, broadcast your content through your social media, and make sure that you respond to comments. Respond to comments, heck, respond to reviews when you get them. You know, wherever you can, you don't necessarily want to respond to every single review. But just be aware of those opportunities to interact with your audience. Google is even looking at how quickly you respond. Google is looking to your visitors more and more for signals that are factoring into your ranking. If you're one of those businesses that still doesn't take social media seriously and still just wants to slap up a website and be done with it, you're being filtered out by the search engines. They want people whose head is in the game. One of my favorite changes happening this year is the relevance of synonyms. Me being a guy who is truly word obsessed. I don't have Angry Birds on my phone. On my smartphone, you'll find a vast array of word games. I mean, I'm obsessed. I've always despised keyword stuffing and spammy tactics in general, because they're dishonest and they're a disservice to the end user. I got interested in SEO years ago when I saw the search engines, primarily Google, taking steps to eliminate this junk and make search more accurate and more intuitive. Keywords, when they're used naturally, are very important, but so are supportive keywords and synonyms. And that's what I want to get across to you here. Those words tend to augment, strengthen the primary keyword or words. Easiest example to clearly illustrate this is the word president. It could be the president of a company or organization. It could be the president of the U.S. If you're using that word on a given page or given post to represent a U.S. president, you clarify that by including the name of a U.S. president on the page. Obama, Reagan, Nixon, Kennedy, Lincoln, whoever. That name clarifies the context of the word to the search engine bots. You know, because you don't want your post showing up in a search where somebody's wondering, you know, who's the president of Exxon, or who's the president of whatever company. You know, you don't want to show up in those searches. So be sure you're making reasonably full use of vocabulary in your business arena to earn more trust. Now, the next thing we're going to talk about here is mobile search. I'm not going to go into much detail here on mobile search, as we've discussed it. We've discussed it and what you should do on numerous podcasts throughout the year. I mean, it's been almost a year. We've been talking about mobile almost monthly. But I will say, you simply must make sure that your website is responsive, shows up properly on mobile devices, and has easy navigation. Over 50% of organic search is on mobile devices now. If you're not mobile optimized now, you're late into the game, but you can still get it done and move forward. So that's all I'm going to say on mobile search. Just get that done. And finally, there's voice search. Now, this is an area that I have love and hate for. But voice search is an area that's definitely growing. Did you know that over 50% of teens and over 40% of adults use voice search daily? Not necessarily exclusively, but at least once a day. You see, voice search is evolving. It's getting more and more accurate. And the most important statistic there is that over 50% of teens are using voice search daily. I have an 18-year-old. He asks, he's got an iPhone. He asks Siri questions all the time. Whether you like it or not, and I'm not saying that I do, voice search in some ways drives me crazy, but whether that's irrelevant, because it's happening. It's growing, and look no further than teenagers today to see where it's going tomorrow. Again, whether we like it or not, that's going to have a tremendous impact on organic search. So again, be aware of it. And, you know, the interesting thing about voice search is that it ties in quite nicely with the rich answers we were talking about earlier, because it is all about sentences, queries, phrases, all those long tail keyword kind of things, because people are verbally asking questions. And see, voice search eliminates the issue of poor spelling in search queries, because voice search is identifying the word and spelling it properly for the search. And that's a very important factor there. Now, it opens a box of other hurdles, but it's something to be aware of and to cater to with your rich answers. You know how cool it would be to just be able to walk up to your computer or pick up your mobile device and truly ask it anything and get a direct and correct answer? It's happening right in front of us, And you can be a part of it through the care you put into the content you deliver on your website and the trust that you earn with the search engines as a result of that. We all can. Thank you for listening to the Mind Your Business podcast presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes and Stitcher, soon on Google Play, and keep your questions coming through our website, welcometomind.com, and through Facebook. Have a happy new year, and we will see you next week in 2016.
From the Minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.
Oh, you were finished. Well, allow me to retort.